Praise the Lord Jesus. This Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for this day. And we're grateful for this great and awesome story we're going to be able to tell the next few days. We ask you to bless everybody's heart with it. Lord, and if anybody wants this story, all they need to do is contact us via our website or by telephone, and we'll be happy to send them the entire story. Father, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I walked in there. She walked in with me. She didn't know what I was going to do. I walked in, and I had my Bible in my hand. I put my hand on it, and I looked at my little grandbaby laying there and Kelly. Of course, both of them was not just critical. Kelly was critical. Her head was busted open. Her both pelvics was broken. Her seatbelt helped. But a piece of steel cut my grandbaby's carry-all deal, and when it cut it and turned it loose, she went forward at that impact, and her head hit the seat in front of her, and her skull was crushed in 5 places. I didn't know how bad she was. I didn't know her right knee was crushed. I didn't know her left leg was broken in 2 places. All I knew is what I saw. Now, this happened at 8:30. This is about 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I get there, probably 2 o'clock at least when I walk in. And her face looked like it's been run through a meat grinder. Solid blood. She's got tubes plugged in her nose that are that long, the gauze that are solid blood. She's got a tube that long, that big around, stuck in her mouth, and it's solid blood. Blood's running out her ears. Blood's running out her mouth. Blood's running out her eyes. Her skull, she's got fractures, cuts. There's not a place on her that's not red all over her face. But I walk in there beside that bed with those 2 little girls, and I lay my hand on my Bible, and I quote those 2 verses one more time. I said, Father, you've done a lot of miracles for me in the last 25 years for a lot of people, but now I need 2 for me. I said, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to raise up these 2 babies and make them perfect. Let them be normal. I don't want them just to live. I want them back like they was, even better. Because I serve the King of the universe. And I said, with you, nothing's impossible. And you told me if I could believe you with no doubt, I could walk on water. I could ask anything I wanted. You'd do it for me. So I said, Lord, I consider it done. And I began to worship him and praise him. That little social worker 4 or 5 hours later walked up to me and she said, sir, I will never forget this day or this incident as long as I live. I said, why, honey? I have never seen a man had lost his wife and his daughter, and walk into a room with 2 girls, and we tell him they're both going to die today, and him stand there and read the Word of God, and then stand here and worship and praise the Lord all afternoon long. I said, honey, you're going to see the glory of God here. She said, sir, the doctor said that these girls can't live. I said, but them doctors don't know my Jesus. I've come to realize most people don't. We don't believe. We say we know Jesus. I thought I used to know him too. But I've come to know who he is now. Really know who he is. So as I stood beside that bed for the next 10 hours and worshiped and praised the King, I never shed a tear. I stayed in total faith. By the time when I first got there, the pressure on the tube that they had stuck in the middle of her head was 20. I didn't know what that meant, but I could read it. The doctor walked up to about 2 or 3 hours later and he said, sir, I don't know how she's lived this long. We expected her to die any minute. He said, it's impossible for her to live. She will die today. I said, oh no, she won't die. He said, sir, it's impossible. So this one, the 3-year-old, which was my granddaughter, said, there's no way possible she can live. He said, the other little girl, maybe she may live. I said, no, they're both going to live. They're going to run and play and be normal again. So he walked off. You're in denial. That's what everybody thinks. No, no. 10 hours later, when I left that hospital in the wee hours of the night or the morning, I had worshipped and praised the King and watched that pressure on Caitlin's brain go from 20 to 7. She's out of the critical range, and that now she's just critical. So I go home to get some sleep. I come back the next morning. I praise the Lord and worship Him all the way home. I come back the next morning. I walk into that hospital. First, the next morning was Sunday morning. So the first thing I did Sunday morning, got up and went and taught my Sunday school class and went to church. That's the first thing I did. And then after church, Sunday afternoon, I came back down there. Everybody couldn't believe that I was in church the next Sunday morning teaching my Sunday school class with my wife dead, my daughter dead, and two grandbabies, or like my grandbaby and a girl like her grandbaby, laying down in a hospital. I told them, I said, y'all don't worry about it. God's in control. I have asked him. I said, and he may even raise my wife and daughter from the dead. I don't know. I said, that's very possible. Although they had both been totally, completely disfigured. I mean, I'm not even going to try to explain to you how bad they were cut up in that accident. I don't want you to even know. But I know the God I serve can do anything. But I know these two little girls are going to live. There ain't no doubt in my mind. What do you do with promises like that, young lady? John 15:7, John 16:23-24. You're a daughter of the King. What do you do with that? Sure you do, sir. You believe them. So, Sunday afternoon, we go. Nobody moves. Everything, I mean, you know, they're living. You know, my granddaughter's got breathing tubes in her and everything else. But Monday afternoon, my son-in-law, I keep telling him, I said, son, don't worry about it. I said, they're going to be okay. He said, Dad. He said, you got faith that I don't have. Of course, that Saturday afternoon when I finally found him, I had to send somebody down to the deer lease, nearly 200 miles away. He's down on our place hunting deer. I had to send somebody down there to get him. So when he walked in his deer outfit and everything, I sent somebody down there to get him because I knew he'd be a basket case because I knew he's going to be a normal man. When somebody walks in and says, sir, your wife, she's dead, and your daughter, we don't think she's going to live through the night. I knew what was going to happen to him. So I sent somebody to go get him. And they drove him back. He walked into that hospital. When he walked in there, I told him, I said, when Toby gets here, you make sure I see him first. So they told me, said, he's in the hall. So I went out there, and as we're coming in, I said, Toby, I said, you need to know, son, what you're going to see when you go in there. He said, Dad, they told me Amanda's dead. I said, that's right, son. Her and mom's gone. They're in heaven with the Lord. But I said, we got a battle, a faith to fight now. So I said, Caitlin is very, very seriously damaged. I said, so I don't want any trauma scenes. When you walk in there, I want you to stay in faith with me. I want only faith in that room. I'm very careful who I let in that room. I said, I don't want you to fall to pieces or start crying. I want you to just stand in faith with me. He said, I can do it. I said, okay. We walked around that corner, and he looked in and saw his three-year-old laying there, and he saw what she looked like, and no way. He just fell to pieces. I told him, took him back out. I said, Toby, you can't go in there like that. I can't have that in there. You're going to come back out. It took about three or four tries before he could go in there and stand there beside the bed and just cry over her bed, but not make no sound, no noise. I said, that's all right, son. She's going to live and not die. But you must stay in faith with me. Monday afternoon, he said, Dad, I don't know how you can have that kind of faith. He said, doctor, whatever, I forget the doctor's name, said he walked in here a while ago and said, Toby, your baby's going to die. There's nothing can be done. She'll die any minute, so just be prepared for it. She can't live. I said, you don't believe what that doctor tells you. You believe what the Word says. He said, Dad, I don't have the faith you have. I said, I know you don't, son, but you're going to see the glory of God. So in a little while, somebody wanted to come. It's Monday night now, about 10 o'clock. Somebody come wanted to go in and see Caitlin. So I come out, and I let that person, real close family member, go in. And while I'm standing out in the hallway, there's a grandmother and a grandfather standing out there with a young man and a young woman. And two doctors walk up to them and says, we've done all we can do to your little grandson. He will be gone before morning. And the doctors walked off. I walked over and I said, sir, are you a born-again Christian? Well, yeah, I am. I said, where do you go to church? He said, I'm an over-the-road truck driver and I don't go to church much. I said, what a shame. The devil's kept you out of church so you don't know the promises of God, so he's going to kill your baby. I said, ma'am, how about you? Are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, do you go to church? She said, well, my husband's not at home much, so not very much. I said, what a shame. You don't know God's promises. So your grandbaby's going to die. I said, son, first I turned to the young lady. I said, young lady, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, do you go to church? She said, no. I turned to the young man, 21-year-old. I said, how about you, son? Are you a Christian? He said, I believe in God. I said, son, everybody believes in God. Some kind. But right now, the only one can help you is Jesus Christ, the Son of the real God. I said, if you don't know Him, let me show you how to get born again. The next 20 minutes, I stood there in the hallway with my Bible and led that boy to Christ. Once I got him born again, I said, now, son, all of your sins right now, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, you have been made a new creature in Christ. You have just been made a brand new creature, and all of your sins have been washed away, and you will never be cleaner before the King than you are right now. I said, now then, you're in perfect shape for a miracle. I said, where is your baby? He said, he was in there in ICU. I said, take me in there. We went in there, and I said, that doctor just said, if I heard him right out there, that your son... I said, how old is your son? He said, he's 2.5 months old. I said, if I heard that doctor right, he said, your son's already 95% brain dead, and he'll be gone before morning. He said, that's what he said. We walked in there, and I looked at this little, tiny, lifeless, 2.5-month-old child, a little boy. I said, son, I want to read just one line to you out of the Word of God. Mark chapter 16, verse 18. I want everybody to see this promise. I want you to see if your Bible reads like mine does. Mark chapter 16, verse 18. When you read Mark chapter 16, verse 18, I want you to somebody to tell me what your Bible says you can do in that verse, especially the last statement.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's amazing. Your Bible read just exactly like mine. And I opened that, and I said, son, you see this line right here? He said, yes, sir. I said, you see that promise the King made you? He said, that says they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I said, and that's what he means.
Now, we'll start right there tomorrow with a continuation of this story. But if you'd like to have this entire story, which we will continue on with this week, we'll be happy to send it to you. All you need to do is contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. And we'll be happy to send you the Caitlin story in its entirety on audio, video, or whatever. Or if you would call us at 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to mail it to you. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to mail it to you. And also, we have many other teachings on the web. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid if you'll just contact us. Praise the Lord Jesus. And remember, Jesus is Lord.